Just imagine, right now people are celebrating Christmas all over the world. The story of Jesus' birth is told in far-off lands where it may be snowing outside, and also on tropical islands where palm trees are swaying in the warm breeze.
The wonderful news of Christmas is that Jesus came to bring peace on earth and goodwill to all people. Now we would like to take you on a musical journey to some of these far-off lands to show you the joy of Christmas is spread around the world.
On the island of Puerto Rico, small bands of carolers known as parrandas visit neighbors and friends singing enguendelas, or Spanish Christmas carols. They often play instruments made of dried gourds with seeds in them called maracas. One of their favorites is called En el Pulín o Belén, or In Bethlehem's Cradle.
Far away in the country of Poland, families put straw under their tablecloths to create the stable where Christ was born. Another small table holds candles and special pastries. They also scatter more straw on the floor and over the snow outside on the doorsteps.
On Christmas Eve at midnight, families listen to the song of the shepherds or pastryka. The next Polish carol describes the joyful event which occurred in the peaceful silence long ago. It's called the Midnight Silence.
Thank you. not far from Poland or the countries of Europe. Many of our favorite Christmas customs come from these countries. Germany gave us the Christmas tree. France gave us the nativity scene, which they call creche, and England gave us many of our favorite Christmas carols.
We want to sing a medley of some of our favorite carols from those three countries. From France, Now Is Born the Divine Christ Child. From England, the Sussex Carol on Christmas Night. And from Germany, one of our most beloved carols, Silent Night.
Thank you. Back in the good old United States, many joyful carols have been sung at Christmas time. Many of them are folk songs and spiritual that have a joyous, happy feeling. This one is called Children Go Where I Send Thee.
Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm gonna send thee one by one, one for the little baby. Born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm gonna send thee two by two, two for Mary and Joseph, one for the
In the 1800s, a great preacher named Philip Brooks visited Bethlehem riding on horseback. He was so moved that he wrote the carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. He also wrote the words of another carol that is not so widely known. We would like to sing these words for you now, Everywhere, Everywhere, Christmas Tonight.
The Bible says, and in that region, there were shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared around to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them.
And the angel said unto them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord."
Glory to the highest, peace on earth, good will to all.
Amen. That was a blessing. The Word of God is to be taught in the New Testament church through song. And Colossians says that we are to teach God's Word, teaching them and admonishing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And one of the neat things about good, wholesome Christian music is it keeps the world's music out of our heads so that we can truly worship God with our thoughts and with our desires. And so we're thrilled with the opportunity to teach your children about the Bible correctly and teaching them about who Jesus is and what Christ has done. I just want to read a verse here from Matthew chapter 1 and put it in its context and help you to understand more about the gift of salvation that God provided in Matthew chapter 1. I want to thank you all for coming and praying for our program this year. Matthew chapter 1, it says that verse 20, while he thought on these things, talking about Joseph, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." God gave Christ, the Christ, the name Jesus. A very fitting name for this lamb that was born, because the name Jesus really reflects the Hebrew word salvation. It is in Greek called Iesus, but in Hebrew, it's Yeshua. Yeshua, the name of Joshua in the Old Testament. We know that Joshua gave the people the promised land. But Jesus really gave the people the promised land through Joshua. He had the same name as Joshua. But he gives us so many more things than just the land. One day we're going to all live together in the land of Israel. If we're part of the New Testament church, we'll be in this great city that is over Israel, that extends 1,500 miles cubical. But Jesus, Yeshua, as the Jews call him there, that worship Jesus, they call him Yeshua. He was predicted in many ways to come. He was of the Holy Ghost, and that meant that he didn't have a sin nature through Mary and Joseph, because he came in the womb of the Virgin Mary without a human father, and he was without sin. In Exodus chapter 12, it predicts that this lamb, that they had to take the blood of the lamb and put it on their doorpost, that he would be that he had to be a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Jesus was truly the lamb that was born without blemish, without spot. Exodus chapter 12 says he's to be a young lamb of the first year, and you're to take him from the rest of the flock on the 10th day of Nisan or Abib, which is around March 20th, usually the end of March. And you're to separate that lamb from the rest of the flock. Now, what would a lamb do if it's separated from the rest of the flock? What do you think it would do? It would cry, wouldn't it? It would bleat, right? A bleeding lamb. And Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem at this exact time on when he came in, you know, the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday. Guess what the date was? The 10th of Nisan. And he came in. And for 4 days, he bleated. He preached the word of God. And it said that on the 14th day, everybody had to take that lamb and they had to place their hands on it to transfer their sin onto that lamb. Everybody did. It wasn't just a sacrifice in the temple, a national sacrifice. It was a family sacrifice. So every family had to take this lamb and they had to put their hands on it and transfer their sin to this lamb. And everybody had to eat this lamb after they killed it. They had to roast it in the fire, and they couldn't leave anything until the morning. And that lamb is Jesus Christ. That lamb was a picture, a symbol of Jesus. He was without blemish, without spot. He was young. He was a male lamb. He was separated from the flock on the 10th of Nisan. For 4 days, he came into Jerusalem on the triumphal entry at that exact date at Passover. And remember in John chapter 13, when they were eating the Passover lamb and Jesus was washing their feet, and Peter said, "Wash all of me." And Jesus said, "No, Peter, all I need to do is wash your feet and you're pure, you're whole." But they had to eat that lamb. Now, they didn't eat Jesus' body, did they? But Jesus said, "You must eat my flesh and drink my blood." And he's talking about the fact that you have to, just like a lamb, you consume a lamb. You eat a lamb if you roast it. Jesus was roasted on the cross. He suffered on the cross the pain and the torture of our sins. But you know what? We have to take him into our spirit, don't we? We have to consume the lamb. And you don't consume the lamb through taking a wafer, okay, at a church that teaches you're saved by taking a wafer. That is not correct. That's from the devil. You don't consume the Lamb of God through taking a wafer. You consume the Lamb of God when you ask Jesus Christ to come in your spirit. You say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I can't earn my way to heaven. But I thank you that you paid for my sin on the cross. And you're the Lamb of God." John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Isn't it a blessing when God takes your sin away? That's what gives you the Christmas spirit. Because when you ask Jesus to take your sin, you transfer your sin to him on the cross. Just like they put their hands on that little lamb. They transferred their sin on that little lamb. But they had to consume that lamb. And you have to take Christ into you. You have to believe that he rose from the dead. And that today he's dispensing his spirit himself. He does it himself. And you just ask him, "Lord Jesus, please come into my spirit." Now, for Christians, we know that we are filled with the Spirit when we submit to God. We can be born again and indwelled and not filled. But my prayer for Christians is not that this Christmas we wouldn't just be indwelled by the Spirit or baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, but that we would be filled with the Spirit, like Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph were filled with the Spirit because they always obeyed God their best. They weren't perfect, but they did their best, didn't they? And so the Spirit of God filled Mary and Joseph. But it all starts by receiving Christ, that little lamb, that baby that was born to die. He was born to die, a baby, innocent little lamb. And receiving him as your Savior, placing your sin on the cross, the Lamb of God that died without sin so that he could pay for our sin. Jesus never sinned so that he could pay our penalty. And that penalty is death. We don't have to die and go to hell, do we? What a wonderful gift that God has given us in giving us the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We look around us in Hoopston and Milford and Rossville and Paxton and Danville and Chicago. We say, you know what? There's a lot of people that are hurting, aren't they? They're carrying around burdens and they're carrying around guilt and they're carrying around fear. God never intended them to carry those things around. They're damaged, aren't they? They're damaged goods. Most people are hurting. Most people are hurting because they've been hurt by people and they've hurt people. But you know what? Through Jesus Christ, through the cross, through a relationship with him, we don't have to hurt anymore. We can be healed by this Lamb. And just like the food would provide physical nourishment for your body, when you receive Christ, he said, out of your belly shall flow a river of living water. You're never going to thirst again. What I get really concerned about is preachers that are not content. Preachers that always want bigger churches. I want to tell you something. When you receive Jesus Christ, he makes you content. You don't need a big church. You don't. You just need Jesus. And, you know, if preachers are always wanting bigger churches, they're going to compromise this book to try to get a bigger church. Bigger churches won't make you happy. Only Jesus can make you happy. We don't compromise this book at First Baptist. We teach the whole Bible. And I want you to know, nothing in this world can make any of us happy. I mean, it's good to have a wife, and it's good to go on vacations, and it's good to farm and all that. That's nice. But only Jesus can make you content. He's the only one that can make you truly content. It's by receiving that little lamb, isn't it? What a precious gift. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to be the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. We thank you that, Jesus, that you're without blemish, that you're perfect and you're pure in all your ways. Lord, we thank you that you were willing to bear our sin on the cross. We transfer our sin and our guilt to you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you that you take it from us. You take away our sadness and remove it from us. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder today, God told them to place that blood on their doorpost because the death angel was coming. They placed the blood of that lamb on the door, the sides of their door and on top of their door. Has Christ's blood been placed in your heart? Are you covered by the blood? Are you protected by the blood? Because if you haven't received Christ, the Bible says you're condemned already because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, you know God loves you. He died for you. He proved it. Once you receive Christ this morning, if you don't know for sure, you can make sure. It's okay not to know for sure as long as you make sure. You can pray this prayer, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for dying on the cross, for taking my sin. I believe that you rose from the dead, and I receive you into my spirit to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Lord, thank you for making me content through you, Jesus. Maybe as a Christian, you need to pray that prayer, remembering that only Christ can make you content through his Spirit of peace and love and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whatever your need is this morning, I trust that you'll pray and thank God and praise him You can have Christmas through Jesus everywhere. Lord, we thank you so much for the children. Thank you for the adults that helped them. Help us, Lord, to take you with us outside these doors and to share your love with others. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.